Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now, the blessed opportunity once again to return to your word. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word faith, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 14. And we see this event unfolding here, which teaches us to always keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Little side note here. It's interesting how the Lord gives us this record of him going up into a mountain apart to pray. He's getting into a nice, quiet, tranquil place and being able to relax and have that connection with the Lord. We all need to do that now and then. Yes, it's difficult for some of us to find a place where we could go to have such peace. But if you really focus on it, you can be sitting in the middle of a crowd and still just zone all of that out all around you and concentrate on a wondrous, beautiful place and focus on that and to relax and then to get into prayer. So whether you can physically go up to a mountain or you have to do it in your mind to be able to separate from all around and get into a nice, peaceful, tranquil place and have that relationship with the Lord, that conversation to be able to pray. As he continues here, after praying, he reads, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. It's a pretty awesome experience that Peter's about to have here, to be able to actually step on out and walk on that water. We see how it unfolds. Verse 29. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But Peter did exactly what he was supposed to do. Turn to the Lord. When you get overcome with your own lack of faith, when you get overcome with the problems and cares of this world, when you get your eyes off of Jesus Christ and get your eyes on all those problems, you begin to sink down into those. You begin to be overwhelmed, filled with fear and doubt. But if we merely turn to the Lord and cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. He'll reach down and grab us and pull us right up out of all that and right up there with him. And that's what the Lord did right here. It reads, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's like, don't doubt. Cry out to the Lord. He'll pull you right up into his loving arms. Verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now this illustrates the power and authority of Jesus Christ to these disciples. Jesus spoke everything into existence, that water into existence. The natural forces that we observe all around us are in the power of the Lord. He created them. He controls them. So if he wanted to make that water capable of holding his weight, he was able to do that. If he wanted to make himself weightless where he could walk upon the water, he could do that. However he did it by his power and his authority, because all things were created by him and for him. So we see that illustrated here as well. And we can have faith in the power and authority of Jesus Christ over everything that's out there. Each and everything in existence is all in existence because of Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. So we need to have the faith in him and totally trust in him to be able to have that power and authority over everything. And then that can build our faith and trust in his ability to take care of whatever the situation is, whatever problem that we could possibly be in, no matter how amazing a problem, or how awesome a problem, or how terrible a problem, or how scary the problem, it doesn't matter. We can turn to the Lord, get our eyes off of those problems, get our eyes on Jesus Christ. He can reach out and grab us and pull us right up out of those problems. So build our faith more and more. So keep our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, not on the problems. Because that was the very thing that happened to Peter. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes on the problems. He started looking away from the Lord and onto and into the problems, looking at the boisterous wind and the waves and so forth. He wasn't looking at Jesus when he was looking at those things, but when he got his eyes back on Jesus and cried out to the Lord, "Save me," the Lord did. So that's what we all need to do when we get swallowed up in our problems. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and cry out to him, "Save me." All right, now if you will turn on over to Matthew chapter 15, we see another event of an example of faith unfolding here in Matthew chapter 15. Let's pick it up verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Now, this woman of Canaan would have been a Canaanite, would not have been a Jew. And we know that the Lord came to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. But he's displaying here how his love is for the entire world, for the Jews and the Gentiles. In this lesson that we can see here, the way he reacted. And the woman continues here in verse 22, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." See, the Lord proclaiming that he had was sent to the lost sheep of Israel was correct, of course, because that was with the prophecies and so forth. He was fulfilling all that, coming to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. But this is also a test for those around him, as well as for that woman. But note, she expresses her faith in him. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Identifying him as Lord, recognizing him as Lord. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." The children being the children of Israel, the dogs being the Gentiles. The reason she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." She passed the test. She displayed the faith, giving us the example and those around that opportunity for healing, opportunity for the blessings from the Lord are to all people. Read 28 again. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Made whole because she had that faith. She displayed that. And the Lord displayed the fact that he loves and cares for everybody. we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 21. Some more lessons here the Lord is teaching us about faith. In Matthew 21 and verse 17, it reads, "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow of thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Now you may wonder, why did the Lord do that? Why did he curse that fig tree? It wasn't bearing fruit. This is a lesson to them that were around him. Not only a lesson and an example of the power and authority of Jesus Christ, but letting them know that those that do not bear fruit will be hewn down and cast into the lake of fire. They will be judged for not having the fruit. Now, the fruits are given to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. When the Lord comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, then we're tied into him, and he begins to develop us, and as we grow, we produce fruits. And the fruits being displayed to the world around us that we have Jesus Christ in us. And if you're not fruitful, then you don't have Jesus Christ in you, and you're cast out into the lake of fire forever. And also he's showing here his power and authority, and he's also teaching them about having faith. As he continues, "But Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So how can we learn from this? Does that mean that if we go out in the yard and we have a tree that's not producing fruit, we can merely by faith curse that tree and it's going to wither up and die and go away? If there's a mountain that's in our way, we don't want to climb that mountain, and we go out here and we have by faith, say, move this mountain, and we wake up in the morning, you got a nice, smooth, open field instead of a mountain. Is that what he's saying here? No, you don't want us all to be a bunch of excavators and gardeners in such a manner. He's speaking here. We always look at the way the Lord uses things around us to teach us spiritual messages, to teach us spiritual lessons. When we have a mountain to face, that's not talking about a physical mountain that's out there. It's talking about the spiritual mountain. The challenges that we have as Christians, the challenges that we have in this world, whatever that mountain is, each and every one of us has various mountains, various obstacles that are in our way. But if we truly pray, if we truly have faith, the Lord can move those mountains away from us, away out of our pathway, so we don't have to climb those mountains. Those mountains can be challenges. The mountains can be obstacles that we face in this world. And the Lord letting us know that by faith we can overcome those. And this unfruitful tree, if there's anything in your life that is not productive, we can pray and have that taken out of our life. That's what he's speaking of. If it's there, if it's an obstacle, if it's something that presents itself as one thing but it is not, if it's something that is not productive, those are things that are as the fruit tree there that was not producing fruit. And we can get them cast out. We can get them taken away through faith in the ability, in the authority, in Jesus Christ. So then we can be more and more like he wants us to be. We can have those mountains out of our way so they don't distract us or slow us down. We can have those worthless things that are just in the way cast away as well. So that's what he's teaching us here, is to have faith in him and his abilities to be able to help us to overcome those challenges that we face each and every day. All right, now if you will turn over to Matthew chapter 24. very interesting section here that he's teaching in Matthew 24. Pick it up in verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Now we know that here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, the Lord's teaching us about the last days, about the rapture, the tribulation, and the millennial period. And he's cautioning us here that we need to watch, we need to be aware, we need to see the signs in front of us that are letting us know that the end is imminent. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? We need to be that faithful and wise servant. All right, through this we can see how we need to be aware of what the Lord has given us an opportunity to be displaying faith and trust in Him and be prepared for at any moment His arrival and be prepared at any moment to be able to go into judgment, not fearing it, but rejoicing in it. And then you will be displaying the fact that you are a faithful and wise servant, doing what He wants you to do at the moment that He takes us out of here, whether it is by us dying or whether it is at the rapture, that we can be ready for any moment for Him coming back. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. And it's very important that we know that. It could happen at any time. And he teaches us further over in verse 14, where he continues, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, let's look at this a little further. These talents are the blessings. These talents are the possessions. These talents are your life itself. All these things are displayed in this. The things that the Lord has given us, we are stewards, as I was speaking of in the earlier message. We're stewards. We are ambassadors representing Jesus Christ. These servants were given things, and they were expected to take those things and multiply those things, to use them properly, just as the example gives us. Those that were given much, and they multiplied them. And then the one, it's interesting that the one was only given one talent, and yet he didn't even use that properly. He just went and buried it. And we've got to look, well, what is this talent representing? Well, with the talent of the first two, they are not only their life, but the other many blessings that are given to us, whether they be physical possessions or whether they be spiritual things that we have, whether they be even the skills and abilities, whether they be the understanding, the wisdom, whatever it is that the Lord has given you, you need to take that and multiply it. How do we multiply it? By utilizing it in the proper way, by taking care of it, for one thing, as good stewards, and also sharing them with others. And when you share something like that, it gets multiplied. When you share the gospel with someone else, then they can come to know the Lord as well. You can help someone on their pathway to the Lord. He gives us that opportunity. Then that multiplies what he has given us. And that's what he's speaking of here, is to take what he has given you and multiply it. The one that had just the one talent was the very life of himself. His life. He didn't use it at all. He didn't share it. He didn't help others. He didn't express the proper faith and trust in Jesus Christ as we all need to help others, to multiply what the Lord has given us, the life itself, to honor that, to respect that, to use it properly. But no, he just went and buried it in the dirt. Selfish. Just keep it over here. Don't share it. Don't give it away. Don't express any kind of concern for utilizing what the Lord has given him properly. He wasted it. And what happens? That even the very life itself will be taken away. That one talent, which was his life, that's the second death that he's alluding to here, that will be taken away. And also another good point we can bring out from this is where he says up there, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That part where he says, "I will make thee ruler over many things," is actually teaching us here a bit of prophecy about the millennial period. Because what we do with what the Lord blesses us with in this realm, during this time period, we'll be able to take and carry over into the millennial period. The blessings that are multiplied, the things that he gives us, the rewards that we build up. And when we're faithful and true and use them in a proper way and things grow, then he acknowledges that we did a good job. And in doing a good job now with this life, he gives us more opportunity in the millennial period to do even more. Because that's the time that he's speaking of here, where he speaks of, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," because that'll be the millennial period, as he says over in verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." This throne of his glory is speaking of the glory that he will have for that 1,000 years, sitting in the throne in the rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem. The physical temple on this actual planet where the Lord will rule and reign for 1,000 years, giving us opportunity to rule and reign with him according to what we have done with what he has blessed us with. So we need to have the faith and the trust in knowing that we have this available. We have this opportunity. We have responsibility to be a good and faithful servant and be faithful over everything that he gives us. Life itself, our body, our possessions, our understanding, our wisdom, whatever it is, we need to use it properly, be thankful for it, not to abuse it, not to neglect it, and not to just be stingy and keep it for yourselves. We need to share what the Lord has given us, because that is what causes it to multiply. When we have been giving something, and we take that something and give it to someone else, that doesn't lose that for us. We still have the things the Lord has blessed us with, and it gets multiplied by us passing that on to someone else. Because we got to always look. He's speaking spiritually here. He's not just talking financially to share the financial things that he gives you, the material things. That's not what he's focusing on here. Focusing here, as well as most of the time, he's speaking of the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. So when he shares us the spiritual experiences, when we experience those things, we can take that and give that to someone else. Share that with someone else. The blessings that he pours upon us, the wisdom, the understanding, the peace of mind, the comfort, the trust, the faith even. When we share that, it gets multiplied and can grow and grow and grow and spread. That's what we need to be sharing. And then he's going to see that we are faithful servants, and he'll give us even more to utilize during the millennial period. We have so much more ahead of us as born-again Christians. It is exciting. It is awesome. So let's take every moment of our existence to share those blessings he pours upon us with others out there, to share that love, to shine that light into this dark world, because that's really what it's all about. He leaves us here for an opportunity to be able to share those spiritual blessings with others around us. So let's do that and be good and faithful servants so we can hear those words, "Well done." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many, many things you bless us with each and every day. Help us to realize that. Help us know we need to take care of them, respect that, to honor that, and also to turn around and share the many things you've given us. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.